You are listening to the Mic Drop Sports Podcast, dropping the mic on the top stories in sports. Now give it up for your hosts, Mike Schneid and Zach Stein.
Welcome to a special baseball preview episode of the Mic Drop Sports Podcast. Opening day is finally here, although technically the 2019 season actually began last week in the middle of the night in Japan between the Mariners and the Athletics, but here we go. Zach and I are here to preview the season. I have a lot of fun facts and historical info on each team. Zach will provide lots of in-depth insights as we go division by division, talk about our playoff previews and some of the awards. And as fans, Zach and I, we've both had extremely different trajectories the last 2 years. Zach being a Dodgers fan coming off of back-to-back World Series losses. Me being a Mets fan coming off of back-to-back 95 and 89 lost seasons. But both actually do have high expectations entering 2019. And a new season always brings new hope and new excitement. So, Zach, how excited are you, not just for the Dodgers, but overall for opening day for 2019 MLB season?
I'm excited. I love baseball. For me, it was the first sport I ever loved, the first sport I ever became a fan of. So the Dodgers are the team I've been a fan of for the longest of my entire life. So they hold the most special place in my heart for that. So obviously just baseball just comes a long season ahead. And coming off of two back-to-back World Series losses, it's just, as a Dodger fan, you know, you're just hoping that you can keep going. But the grind of two long postseason runs, I'm a little nervous for just the Dodgers' future, just with Kershaw being a little banged up. But there are so many good teams. There's so many good young players in the league. I consume so much baseball. So I'm super excited.
Yeah, I feel like baseball is kind of in a weird spot. I mean, both of our teams have high expectations, which is nice. And there's optimism for our teams. But I feel like there's a ton of, like, when I look at the overall landscape, there's a lot of teams that have no expectations and no optimism. And as we go through our predictions, I feel like I'm pretty confident in at least five of the six teams that are going to finish last place in their divisions. Like, I feel like there's a lot of negativity with baseball right now. I mean, I know you're a more hardcore fan than I am. So for casual fans, seeing guys get contracts for $300-400 million, and then you compare those to sports that might be more widely popular, like the NBA and NFL, I think people find that to be insane. And it's also weird that you have guys like Machado and Harper. It took them 3-4 months to sign. And then you have guys like Craig Kimbrell and Dallas Keuchel, who somehow are still available hours before opening day. So I feel like the sport itself might be trending in the wrong way. We're in a weird spot, at least from my point of view, as more of, you know, not a hardcore fan like you are.
Yeah, so, I mean, just to touch base on, you know, the salaries and whatnot, I mean, obviously there's crazy salaries being thrown around for these top players and even average players. But to sort of what gets overlooked and really doesn't get talked about, baseball is a 162-game season. That's a long season. That's a lot of games. Obviously, there's a little bit less wear and tear on the body than playing football and maybe playing basketball. But this is a long, demanding season. Lots of traveling involved. Where basketball, it's like you're playing one game every 3 nights. No, these guys are playing every single day, and they might only have like 10 off days in a 162-game season, essentially, plus the All-Star game weekend. So it's so demanding. So salaries can be up a little bit more just because there's so many more games. Home team, home stadiums have 81 games that they get to fill out instead of the 40 for NBA or the 8 for NFL. So there's just so much extra money in the sport of baseball to throw around just because there are more games being played.
And so there is a lot more money to be thrown around, but yet teams choose not to throw it around.
Right.
Which I feel like there's sort of a lack of parity. I mean, the AL, when you look at it, it seems like there are a ton of dominant teams and then a lot of really bad teams. And then in the NL, it's kind of deep. But, I mean, it seems like the Marlins are going out of their way to not spend their money. I mean, I couldn't name you anybody on the Marlins roster right now. I think I know one guy in the Orioles. I mean, I don't know if it's tanking in baseball, but teams are just openly trying not to spend their money.
Right.
It's very – and a league without a salary cap,
but
too. It's bizarre.
So there is no salary cap, but baseball has really changed with luxury tax. So if you go over the luxury tax, these owners are getting taxed like crazy. So, like, for the Dodgers this year, like, trading Puig, like, in that deal that they did, like, it's annoying to say that they got rid of some really good young talent and then to trade for someone that's not even on the roster just to cut. Like, it saved the owner about, like, $20 million in taxes. So that minor trade, or, I mean, it's not minor, but, like, that trade alone, like, saved an owner, like, $20 million in, like, a year. Like, it's crazy. Like it, so that's the problem is, like, the owners either need to accept that they're going to go way over the luxury tax and try to compete or stay under and just churn profit. And obviously, a lot of these teams in smaller markets are just doing that right now just because, like you mentioned, especially in the AL and the NL, it's both the case, there are top-heavy, dominant teams above each and every division. And it's hard to compete against them.
When talking about teams that want to that go out and they spend and the teams that are top heavy, when you look at the AL East, the Yankees and the Red Sox are obviously the two most obvious teams to look at. And the Red Sox, of course, won the World Series. You know that pretty well, unfortunately, in 2018. It was actually their fourth since 2004. And Yankees are looking to get back there for the first time since 2009. So realistically, these are the only two contenders in the AL East, right? So that being said, who are you taking to win the AL East?
So obviously, these two teams are the best teams in baseball. They had the best records in baseball last year. They're the most talented up and down. I mean, the Astros give them a good run, but the star power, top to bottom lineup, good rotations, it's insane. I do want to mention just the Tampa Bay Rays here. I think if the Tampa Bay Rays were in a different division, they might be a solid high 80, low 90 win team. But since they get to be bashed around a little bit, they sort of get overlooked as the third team in there, but they're pretty good. But this year, I just think with the World Series high a little bit, obviously the Red Sox are still going to make the playoffs. I'm taking the Yankees to win the division this year.
Well, I agree. I'm curious why you like the Yankees over the Red Sox, who won 100. I think both teams won 100 games last year. The Red Sox won 108, which is insane.
So obviously these teams, I just like the Yankees lineup for me personally. Now it's all these young guys have come up now. They've gotten experience. They're coming up. Judge was hurt a little bit during the year last year. So for me, like now getting him back to play all year with Stanton's huge. They added James Paxton to the starting rotation. They got Tanaka back. Good bullpen. I just think this Yankees team, if they stay healthy with all the young talent up and down that lineup, it's like Murderer's Row-esque essentially. In there now, which is crazy. I just think that they have too much talent not to win that division this year.
Yeah, no, I agree with the Yankees pick. The Yankees lineup is great. And we talked about this on a previous podcast over the winter, but I never thought it made sense for the Yankees to go after Bryce Harper or Manny Machado. Their issue is pitching. Their issue was never their offense. I think Stanton will come around and improve in his second year. Yeah, I think Judge was banged up. They have a couple of solutions at first base. I like the Tulowitzki signing. I think there's something somewhat of a World Series hangover with the Red Sox. They're still good. I think both of these teams are going to win over 100 games. I think the Red Sox will run away with the first wild card spot. I question the Red Sox bullpen. I'm not sure if Matt Barnes is the guy to step into that closer role, and I'm not sure if that's going to come back to haunt them.
I agree. They lost Joe Kelly to the Dodgers, so they lose a really – I mean, Joe Kelly was – unhittable in the World Series and pretty much the playoffs. They lose him. Obviously, they lose Kimbrel, so that's tough. But again, amazing lineup. They still got Chris Sale. David Price looks to have found his confidence again and being dominant again. So you got a nice little top of the punch at the rotation. They're still going to be great. I just think there's going to be a little bit of hunger now that with the Yankees now that the Red Sox are coming off a fresh World Series win. That's just going to motivate the Yankees even more. They're going to want this thing.
I agree. And Tanaka, Severino, Paxton is your 1-2-3. And I don't know who off the top of my head, but I could definitely see them going out and getting a big-name pitcher sometime over the summer just to kind of bolster that rotation. And I think the thing about both of these teams getting to 100 wins is you get the Orioles. So there's 18 wins for both of them. You get the Blue Jays and the Rays. So let's just say you split both of those and you get 10. Right off the bat, you're getting 30 wins in your division, which is insane. So all you have to do is beat the rest of baseball 70 times and you're at 100 wins. I mean, is there – do you have any thoughts, any hope? I know you said the Rays, there's some optimism there, but the Rays, the Blue Jays, the Orioles, is there anything
there's
there
nothing those there three teams? Slow them down, sadly. The Rays are a good team, but they're sort of just – they're good at the wrong time. Obviously, they have a really young team, so maybe they can outlast and keep guys together. They just signed Blake Snell to a very team-friendly contract extension, which is awesome. But they just don't have the, for one, the money, to, obviously, to contend with the Yankees and the Red Sox right now. They don't have the exact star power there. They're going to be annoying. Like, it wouldn't shock me if you look at final season standings and the Red Sox and the Yankees were about .500 record against the Rays. Blue Jays, they have a few good players here and there. They don't really scare me that they're going to beat up on them. And then obviously the Orioles just, they're basically rebuilding. They got, they lost their franchise boy, Adam Jones, this year to free agency. So like the leadership aspect of that team really is gone. So they're going to be one of the worst teams in baseball, in my opinion.
And the Orioles over under, I think is 58. And everyone's encouraging you to bet under on that number. I mean, that's an insane number for an over-under. So, I guess there's really no hope for the Orioles, a team who didn't make the playoffs once between 1998 and 2011. They've made it three times since, and it could be a long time before they make it. The Rays won 90 games last year, which kind of shocked me when I remembered that. It was their most win since 2013. Which is also the last time they've been to the playoffs. They've actually only won three playoff series in their existence. And then the Blue Jays have had a really rough go. They've only made the playoffs twice since winning those back-to-back World Series in the early 90s, and they've lost over 86 games the last 2 years. So, yeah, I mean, the Rays, it's a shame that this is the division that they're in. They should be competitive, especially with Snell, but I think the other two are just bottom feeders for the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Obviously, Vlad Guerrero being on the Blue Jays, people are going to tune in just for those games. So they're definitely going to be talked about a lot. He's going to have some ridiculous home runs. He's going to make some great plays. So, yeah, that at least having a young guy like that on a bad team makes him somewhat exciting.
So the AL Central has been dominated by the Indians. They've won the division each of the last 3 years. They have the longest amongst teams that have won the World Series. They have the longest drought at 70 years. Insane. World Series expectations might be ambitious, but are they your pick to win again?
The NL Central should just be nicknamed the Division of Indians. There's this team, and then there's the rest of the teams. This is the weakest division in baseball. The best part is like the Indians, their biggest concern is just staying healthy. I think a report just came out that Lindor has a high ankle sprain and might be out for a little bit, which is a little concerning. But the good thing is they have a good enough roster. The AL Central has been in such a rebuilding mode where, honestly, like, I'm not sold on the Twins. The Chicago White Sox might be the second best team in that division, and they're going to win 74 games this year. All the Indians have to do is just stay healthy, win 85. I mean, they'll probably win 90 games, and they'll run away with the division.
I'm taking the Twins. I like them. I like the Nelson Cruz, Marwin Gonzalez moves were good additions. Byron Buxton and Miguel Sano. I think the Indians are going to implode. I think they're vulnerable. I'm not sold on their offense. Lindor's already banged up. We'll see if Corey Kluber, and we'll see if these guys can stay healthy. Something that concerned me. So apparently the Indians are owned by a guy named Dolan, who's not related to the Knicks Dolan. I thought this was fascinating because apparently he's despised in Cleveland as much as the Knicks Dolan is. But he basically said something like, yeah, we're never going to pay $300 million for Lindor or anybody, so enjoy him while we have him. That raised a red flag to me because if the Indians and the Twins are in a dogfight in the summer, I don't know that the Twins are going to pull the trigger on adding anybody that's going to bring on salary. So I'm going to take the Twins as my super team in the AL Central.
Wow, that's shocking.
The Twins haven't won a playoff game actually since 2004. They haven't won a series since 2002. Since then, they've been swept three times, and they lost that wild card game to the Yankees in 2017. So I'm going with the Twins to win a playoff game possibly win a series, but I'm going with them to win the AL.
Interesting. I disagree.
And yeah, I mean the rest of this division is really bad. Tigers haven't made the playoffs since 2014. The Royals are funny. The Royals, the last three times the Royals made the playoffs, they made the World Series. They've only made the playoffs 9 times ever, and 4 of those times have ended in World Series trips. And for the White Sox, I know you said that you think they could be the second best team. They haven't made it since 2008. Their last playoff series win was that World Series back in 2005. So, yeah, they do have some exciting young players. I think they'll take – this could be a stepping stone season for the White Sox, but I'm not completely sold on them just yet.
It was an exciting offseason for the White Sox. They made some decent free agent moves, get some veteran players on the roster, which is always nice. Obviously, another year for their young players to go. They signed Eloy Jimenez to a nice team-friendly contract extension, so he's going to be up. And then they were always rumored in Harper and Machado talks. So obviously, they didn't want to spend as much money as the other teams. But for a team like the White Sox, who's sort of been down the dumps, like it was the most exciting offseason for them in quite some time, even though they didn't get any of the players they really wanted.
I mean, there are rumors being for Bryce and Machado. That obviously would have made a monumental difference. And I might really buy into them, not just as a sleeper, but as, you know, the central champions. But, yeah, I mean, they made some good additions and they have some good young guys. So we'll see how they develop. Out West, the Astros are the clear favorite. They won their first World Series in 2017. Rangers and Mariners are among the teams who have never won it. The Athletics, I know the Athletics made the wild card game last year. They haven't won a playoff series since 2006. And how about this stat? Mike Trout, who just got his $430 million contract, he's been with the Angels since 2011. He's never won a playoff game, not just a series. The Angels have made the playoffs with him on the roster once. 2014, they were swept by the Royals. So Mike Trout has never seen a playoff victory. Is this the Astros division to lose? Does Mike Trout get to a playoff game this year?
Astros division to lose. Their pitching is way too good. Their lineup is way too good. Another team that extended one of their young star players, Alex Bregman, this offseason. So they're making the right guys, right moves to keep their guys. Obviously, they lost Keuchel, but Gerrit Cole, Justin Verlander is super good off the top of the rotation. Carlos Correa, George Springer in the lineup. Like, this is a really good team. They're not going to lose the division. The problem is, the A's are also a really sneaky good team as well. I think they're going to sneak in and get a wild card spot again. I do not see the Angels making the playoffs this year, next year, or the year after. I think this is going to be, we're going to see something that's crazy. Unless something changes, like crazy, with some of the Angels' younger players really developing and their pitching developing. There is a realistic possibility that Mike Trout never wins a playoff game in his entire career.
A game or a series?
I mean, that's
just amazing. I'm not saying you're wrong. That's like saying that Tom Brady is never going to win a playoff game. I mean, that's like saying LeBron James is never going to win a playoff game. I mean, that's just
Albert
insane.
Albert Pujols' contract is going to continue to haunt this team. I'm fine with Trout getting this money. I'm fine with it. You had this terrible contract with Albert Pujols. Now you're not going to really be able to add anything. So, yes, they have a sick little minor leaguer coming up soon, Joe Adell. If he turns into a monster, that could really help. They have some of these young starting pitchers on the team that I kind of like, but they always find a way to get injured. And it's just kind of concerning. Like, they're just not building a winning brand around Trout. And unless that changes, nothing's going to change.
It just seems like they've been stuck in neutral for a long time. They get to about 80 wins almost every year, it feels like, and they're never really in contention in September, but they're never really that bad. They've been a weird team for a long time now.
They're stuck in La La Land, and like, it's great that they were able to keep Trout for his whole career, but unless player development changes around him, because obviously they developed him into the best player in baseball, but it's like nothing else has come about that. And Albert Pujols was a terrible contract at the time when they signed him. Everyone knew that at the time. Like, you pretty much missed out on his prime, essentially, and you gave him a 10-year, $300 million deal. that's just crushing it. I think they still got 5 years left on that thing. It's insane. It's really gonna suppress them from having success.
Yeah, and that's the thing with these big contracts is that Machado and Bryce are at least in their late 20s. They'll see the peak of their career during their contract. I mean, Pujols, we knew that he was 31, starting to show some signs of decline, and now we're here with 5 years left. So, yeah, I mean, clearly that's haunting them. The A's, I'm 100% with you on the Astros. Bregman, Altuve, Correa, Verlander, and Jarrett Cole anchoring that rotation. I think they were a little banged up last year. It seemed like they had a lot of injuries in September down the stretch, and I think that kind of impacted them. I think they'll be able to pad their wins and their stats against the Rangers and the Mariners, and at that point, hopefully try and keep some guys fresh for an October run, knowing that they'll get there. So I think they'll be healthy. I'm not completely sold on the Athletics. It's hard. I mean, they don't have Kyler Murray is not walking through that door to save them. So I came across this amazing stat today for the A's, for Chris Davis. I don't know if you know about this stat or not. This is the craziest thing I've ever heard. For four straight seasons, from 2015 to 2018, every year he has hit 247 on the dot. That's unbelievable. It's not a great average, but he's hit the same average every year for four straight years in over 400 plate appearances, 600 the last 3 years, but 400 the first year. How does that happen? Hey,
consistency, baby. They never said it has to be good consistency, bad consistency, but he fits that lineup perfectly. The guy smashes home runs, drives in runs, which is huge. So for me, it's like, it's fine. Obviously, you wish that you could have him. Like, obviously, if he was able to get up to his average to 260 and continue with the home runs and RBIs, like, that might push that A's team to win a couple more games. But the thing is with him, and I don't have the exact stats in front of me, but he was, like, considered the most clutch player in baseball last year, like, from the seventh inning on. That's, I think he led the majors in home runs in the seventh inning or later. So he is clutch. Obviously, 247, it's like, it's not great, but it's not bad. But he's one of the best power hitters in the game. They have other really good hitters who get on base ahead of him. And then if he is on base, that's not a home run. They have people to drive in as well. And they have sneaky good pitching. They always have good pitching. They have a great closer. So they're always going to be good enough to be annoying. I don't see them having success in the playoffs, especially, they might be able to, but, like, if you're talking wild card game, you're just saying they're going up against the Red Sox or the Yankees, essentially, for a one-game playoff. So, good luck to them. They've never had success against the big team in the playoffs. That basically, you can just watch the movie Moneyball and see that for yourself. But they're good.
Great
they're
movie. Good team. So, and I mentioned the Mariners. They're one of seven teams in baseball that have never won the World Series. They're also one of two that have never even appeared. The last time they even made the playoffs was 2001. They have the longest active playoff drought in all of American sports. It's 17 years. That 2001 team, though, I'm sure you remember, pretty fun. Lou Piniella was the manager. They had a 27-year-old Ichiro in their outfield, along with Mike Cameron, Edgar Martinez, Brett Boone, John Olin.
121 team, right?
That amazing team. But that was the last time they were in the playoffs, amazingly. And so, they're one of two teams that have never even been to the World Series. The other team is the Nationals. And they spent a lot of time in the headlines this offseason because their star player, Bryce Harper, left. I kind of think that they might be better. I'm curious to get your thoughts, but the NL East is a really crowded division. The Braves won it last year. Nationals still have high expectations, and they made some key additions. Phillies added Bryce Harper along with several other all-stars. The Mets actually did something to spend some money and made some smart additions. So in a crowded NL East, and I think we said this before, the National League in general seems much deeper. So I think some of these divisions are a lot harder to choose. But I'll let you go. In the East, who you got?
I'm going to take the Phillies. I think this is the most improved team over last year. They've added Bryce Harper. Low-key, they added Gene Segura, one of the best shortstops in baseball. They added Andrew McCutchen. So great, great veteran leadership in there, and he's going to be the leadoff hitter, and all McCutchen does in his career is get on base. So he's going to be on base a ton, and then you've got Gene Segura batting after him, either Rhys Hoskins or Bryce Harper right there, 3-4. This is a very, very good baseball team. You got Aaron Nola, one of my favorite young starting pitchers in baseball right now. You have Jake Arrieta, World Series winner. And then obviously you have David Robertson with crazy experience as the new closer. So this is a very improved and very young team with tons of talent. I'm actually super excited to watch this team just because I personally am a big Bryce Harper fan. I love Bryce Harper. I like Rhys Hoskins. I like Nola. So, and obviously they got JT Realmuto as well. Like, this is a stacked baseball team, and I'm picking them to win the division.
I hear you, and I'm taking the Nationals. I love the Phillies. I love what they did. I think it's going to take them a minute to kind of get all these players in order, especially Bryce Harper was a late signing. I know there's some issues with Gabe Kapler last year as the manager. The Phillies are going to be fine. I think they'll make a late run, and they'll get the wild card. But I'm going with the Nationals. I think there's something brewing there, that the aura of Bryce Harper, it feels like the pressure is gone, and the super mega star who never got them past the playoffs is gone. And I think it takes the pressure off. And I think there's something about that. Juan Soto, Victor Robles, they're going to be a fun young team. Their pitching rotation is outstanding with Scherzer. They signed Patrick Corbin. They still have Strasburg. The pitching is what concerns me with the Phillies. It's why I'm going to take the Nationals over them. Both of these teams are going to win well over 90 games, maybe 95. But I think the Phillies could start slow, and I think that's ultimately what could help, what could hurt them.
Interesting. I think the Nationals are going to finish third in the division. I think the baby Braves are – I think the Braves are going to still come in second. Obviously, they had the nice little surprise year last year. But I think this team just has a ton of confidence. They got a good young lineup. They got some good young pitching there. I think they're going to be able to string together enough wins to be second in that division. I truly think the Phillies are going to win that division by 5 or 6 games by the end of it. I think you're looking at like 94 wins for the Phillies, about 88 for the Braves, and 86 for the Nationals is my prediction.
All right.
It's a tough division.
Division. It's a really tough division. I like the Josh Donaldson move on the Braves. That was a good move. The Braves, so you like the Braves to finish second. They've lost 9 straight playoff series. Their last playoff series win was the 2001 NLDS. Of course, they returned back to the playoffs last year, losing to the Dodgers. Nationals are unbelievable. Nationals have lost all 4 playoff series that they've played in Washington, all with Bryce Harper. And of the 5 series they've ever lost as a franchise, 4 of them in the first round have gone to 5 games. So just really tough luck. I think that ends. I think they overcome that and get out of the first round. And the Phillies, they should have the 5th longest playoff drought going back to 2011, which is also the last time they had a winning season. I think we both agree this will be a winning season, and it will be the end of that playoff drought. So your top 3 are obvious. I'm curious. Obviously, the Mets are 4th. I'm curious, before I give you my thoughts, what you think about my New York
Mets. I think they're a disgrace to baseball. I love Syndergaard, and I love DeGrom. They done nothing with this offense. I am sorry. It's Robbie Cano. I like Cano. He's a good leader, but he is not the superstar he once was. This lineup is just... they had issues. The pitching was amazing last year. They just didn't score runs for them. I don't see runs being scored on this team again. Like, who's scoring runs? Who's driving in? They might have one guy who drives in 80 runs this year. Like, I just don't see the offensive production to win enough baseball games again. It's going to be hard to score against the Mets. I just don't see the Mets being able to put up enough games where they're scoring 6-7 runs consistently to win a bunch of baseball games.
They might not have to score 6 or 7 if DeGrom or Syndergaard are on the mound. They'll just have to score 2 or 3, which was the problem. They weren't even scoring 1 when DeGrom was pitching. So that was their issue. I think they've done enough. I think they finished 3rd. I actually have them ahead of the Braves, amazingly. But they'll compete for the wild card. I don't have them making the playoffs. DeGrom has to regress. I mean, he has to take a step back from what his 1.4 ERA last year. I still think he'll be amazing. I think the question with the Mets is always, is Syndergaard going to be healthy? Because if he is, he'll be in the top young. Zach Wheeler has a chance to be very good. Robbie Cano could be very good, but he's a question mark. Michael Conforto, that could be the bat in the middle of the order. Jeff McNeil, Pete Alonso. There's a lot of guys, but a lot of these guys make you just kind of shrug, where it's like, okay, these are names that you're saying, but they have to do something. They have to prove it. I'm confident that guys like McNeil, Alonso, Conforto will prove it, but until they show it, I understand why you think they're a disgrace. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done. I like what they did this offseason. It's too tough of a division. It's almost like with the Rays. They're saying that if the Rays weren't in the AL East, they would be better. If the Mets were not with the Braves, Nationals, and Phillies, I'd be a little bit more optimistic about their chances because of the pitching. And the division is loaded with great lineups and great bats. So as good as the pitching is, I just don't know how far they can get them.
I just don't see it with that offense.
How about the Marlins? Here's my question for you about the Marlins. I know you're a bigger fan than I am. Off the top of your head, can you name any Marlins? I thought so.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I mean, I know who the owner is. It's Derek Jeter. But so I said this a few weeks ago also in like a random fun fact. The Marlins are 6-0 in playoff series. They're the only team. I think they're the only team in American sports that have never lost a playoff series. They've only made it twice. It's the only two division titles. And they won the World Series both years. But outside of 1997 and 2003, they've pretty much sucked, and they've only had four other winning seasons. So for a franchise born in 1993, they've been over 500 just six times. And I have no idea when the next – the fact that neither of us know anybody on the team
I thought
just to show you that it's going to be a long time.
Their best starting pitcher is Jose Urena. He's good.
I don't know who that is. So, yeah, moving on from the Marlins. I think the Central is going to be super competitive also. There's definitely three teams, and I'm curious to see your thoughts if you think there's a fourth, but the Cardinals are looking to snap a three-year playoff drought. They haven't finished below 500 since 2007. Cubs are looking for their fifth straight playoff appearance, and the Brewers made a nice run to the NLCS last year, which snapped a six-year playoff drought. They've also never won a World Series. They were last there in 1982, so I'm curious if you think it's one of those three. I know the Reds are improved, and then the Pirates on the bottom. Who you got in the NL Central?
Yeah, so this is gonna be a fun division to watch all year. Obviously, you've got the Cubs who have ended their World Series drought a couple years ago. They had a very disappointing year last year. Outside of like Javi Baez, like I thought Anthony Rizzo sort of underperformed. Chris Bryant heavily underperformed, but he was kind of hurt as well. They still have – I'm really excited about their starting pitching. I think this is going to be a bounce-back year. They're hungry to be successful again. So I'm going to put the Cubs to win the division. But then the Cardinals, I mentioned how I thought the Phillies were the number one most improved team. I think the Cardinals are the second most improved team. Signing Paul Goldschmidt is phenomenal. So now you're adding him to a lineup with Marcelo Zuno, Jose Martinez, Paul DeJong, Yadier Molina. Now this lineup really is starting to come together. And then talk about a team with some very young, exciting pitchers. Miles Mikolas, Jack Flaherty, Carlos Martinez. This is a solid roster. They're going to give Cubs fits. They're going to just – it's going to be wire to wire for the division. I think Cubs win it, but it's going to be like by a game or two. And then I got Cardinals there. But I'm picking two teams but it's very possible you might see two wild card teams come out of the NL Central. Because I think the Brewers are still really good.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. So my question for you on the Cubs is, does their pitching concern you? Because I think looking at their rotation, that's what worries me about them winning this division.
I mean, you got Lester at the top, Kyle Hendricks, Jose Quintana, Cole Hamels. It's a deep lineup with names. When they traded for Cole Hamels.
But that's it. But that's the thing. It's a deep lineup with names.
Yeah, but Cole Hamels looked amazing after they made that trade for him. I just think it's really good. Kyle Hendricks is really good. I think if Cole Hamels can even pitch half as good as he was after that trade, he's still really good. Lester is a big-time performer. Like, Lester's not going to dip into the four ERAs. He's going to be a 3.5, 3.6, 3.7 ERA type of guy, which is awesome. He's going to pitch 180 innings. Quintana's an innings eater. He might be like 3.8, 3.9, maybe a little bit low four ERAs. Like, these are guys you're not going to have like a 4.5 ERA pitcher in there. You're going to have a bunch of guys who are in the high. Kendricks might be in that low, like that high twos, low threes ERA type position again. But like, these guys are so good and they eat innings. These starting pitchers eat innings. And like, that's huge because it can really save a bullpen for a playoff run.
Here's a wild question for you. So the Reds are very improved.
They added, the Reds a lot.
They added your friend, Yasiel
Puig, my friend.
And Puig, your friend. Can Joey Votto win the MVP with this lineup around him? He's finished in the top seven through the last 4 years. I know he was a little bit down last year, but entering that age 35 season, he's showing signs of decline. Can Votto carry this offense and finish near the top for the MVP?
I mean, Votto always puts up stupid fantasy numbers and MVP numbers. The guy is as solid as it gets. For me, I think if he's going to win MVP, I think the Reds need to flirt around a 500 record, which they might. I still question their pitching top to bottom, but obviously this lineup is super improved. But for me, there's just the NL, obviously the AL too, but like the NL is just loaded with eight good teams, in my opinions. And each eight teams have two to three studs in their lineups that are going to put up stupid numbers. And one of those guys is going to win MVP. So sadly for me, I think just Votto gets left in the dust again. Probably still finishes top five, but just gets left in the dust again, just because he's not going to be really competing for a playoff spot.
And I'm going to go with the Cardinals to win it, and the Cubs to win the wild card, and the Brewers to just miss out, and then the Reds finishing fourth. So with the Reds, this always bothers me on opening day, and I know it bothers everybody there. I don't know, maybe I'm brainwashed from going to school out in Cincinnati, but I hate the fact that they lost that tradition. They no longer host opening day like they used to. They aren't that first game. And, you know, even if the Reds start at 105 and then you do the Yankees at 130, at least give the Reds their tradition back and let them have the first pitch on opening day. I mean, we had the game last week in Japan. That's one thing, but there's a lot of games on Thursday that start at 1:105, and I think it's a shame that the Reds kind of lost that tradition.
Yeah, I mean, that was a little fun tradition for me. I didn't really ever think of opening day, but like, oh, Reds have first pitch. Like, I never.
I'm probably just brainwashed from being in school.
For me,
out
it's
there.
Just opening day is just the excitement, fresh new season. I never really thought about like Reds first pitch. Like for me, it's like obviously sidetrack the NFL. Like normally NFL opening game is defending Super Bowl champs. Obviously if that changed now, defending Super Bowl champs are going to Sunday. So for me, opening day football, that was a tradition that's being changed. Reds not having first pitches, that doesn't faze me.
And then there's the Pirates.
Pirates are sneaky too. They're not bad. they're going to be tough. Like they're probably a 75 win team. So that as a fourth, fifth team and that are all hanging around like 75 wins, 75 plus wins. So it's the toughest division in baseball.
And that Chris Archer trade was a good move for them. I think that was more for them to build for this year since he still had years left on his deal. And so the Reds, their last playoff series win hasn't been since 1995. And Pirates actually have the second longest World Series drought. I mentioned the Indians had the longest before. They haven't won a playoff series in a long time. They are actually 1-2 in that wild card game. They've been in it three times. So doesn't seem like the Pirates have much of a chance to be in it this year. Last and most important, especially to you, the NL West, the division that your Dodgers have now won six in a row, haven't had a losing record since 2005. Do they make it seven? I don't even know why I'm asking, but do they make it seven in the NL West?
I think so. I've been for the past couple of years, I've always gone into a season with just sort of downing them and like not seeing that they've done enough. This is just another year where I don't think they've done enough. the Kershaw injury does concern me. They have Rich Hill's a little banged up now. I like Ryu. I like Maeda. I like Urias. Obviously, I like our bullpen, Kenley Jansen at the back of it, but he had those heart problems at the end of the year. I like the addition of Joe Kelly. We missed out on Bryce Harper. I'm a little sour on that. And we traded Puig, one of my favorite players. And obviously, we signed AJ Pollock. We downgraded significantly at catcher throughout the year with no Grandal. So I think we're coming in a little less talented than we were before. But I still think it's enough because as good as the Rockies are, I just think their pitching has to decline a little bit just because I thought their pitching was just almost too good for Coors Field last year. Something needs to even out a little bit. So I think the Rockies are still going to get second place in the division.
What about the Giants? They've missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. It's the first time since 2008, 2009 they've missed it consecutive years. They did win those three World Series from 2010 to 2014. Since then, their only playoff win was in 2016, a wild card game that I remember quite well against the Mets. Is this a bounce back here for the Giants,
nope,
or are they going to stay near
they
the bottom?
They stink. I think they're coming in last place.
So here's a fun question for you then about the Giants. This is Bruce Bochy's last season. Is he a Hall of Famer? He's under 500 for his career right now. It's going to take 90 wins. If the Giants go 90-72 this season, he'll finish at 500 exactly. But three World Series wins with the Giants, a World Series appearance with the Padres, and has won 57% of his postseason games. In your opinion, is that enough to get into the Hall of Fame? It is to me.
For coaches, it's enough to get in the Hall of Fame, yeah.
And then what about the Padres with Machado, with Fernando Tatis Jr.? They have a hell of a farm system.
Really, really also, fun team. Talk about pesky. This team is sort of reminds me of the Braves team last year, which is kind of scary. Like, the Braves team, it's like they have all these young players coming in this lineup. It's like you have Fernando Tatis. You have now, like, Manny Machado. You have Eric Hosmer on this team. It's a great, great lineup. They have some really talented young pitching. And that's what's going to make or break their year. Is this young pitching going to be talented enough to dominate hitters? The answer is yes. The Padres could make the playoffs.
And if they do, they have the third longest playoff drought at 10 years. And their last playoff series win was in 1998, the year that Bruce Bochy helped lead them to that World Series. So, all right, so to reset here, who do you have in the AL in the playoffs?
Yep, so reset, I got Yankees winning the division, Indians winning the division, Astros winning the division. I got Red Sox as the first wild card spot, Athletics as the second wild card spot.
Sounds pretty similar to last year, huh?
Very similar. It's top heavy in the AL.
It is, and I have the Twins over the Indians, so I think the Twins will be in contention. We both think the Rays could kind of hang around there a little bit. And the Angels, baseball's not a one-player sport. So I don't think, Mike Trout might be the MVP again, but I don't really see the Angels getting into contention. So not really a whole lot of teams that are just hanging around there, right?
No.
And then who we got in the National League?
So it's Phillies, Cubs, Dodgers, Cardinals, and I'm going to go Rockies as the two spot.
And yeah, I mean, this is so much deeper. I have the Nationals over the Phillies. I have the Cardinals over the Cubs, but I have the Cubs and the Phillies in the wild card spot. Dodgers, Rockies, but I think the Reds could sneak up on people. The Brewers were in it last year. Mets pitching rotation is dominant if everybody's healthy. And then the Braves, I mean, neither of us have the Braves in the playoffs, and they were there last year. So a deep and exciting NL. So from here, where do you go with your playoff preview?
Yeah, I'm going to say I'm really putting it all in on the Phillies. I have the Phillies going. I have a Phillies-Yankees World Series. And,
wow.
Yeah, but I got the Yankees winning it all.
There's something there with Bryce Harper never winning a playoff series. I don't know. It's bothering me. And he'll win a playoff series eventually with the Phillies, if not this year. I don't think they go to the World Series year one. I have the Astros winning it all. I think, like I said before, I think they were banged up come September. I think just trying to defend the World Series crown and the young guys, maybe they were overcompensating. But between Altuve, Bregman, and Correa, and the dominant pitching staff that they have, as long as their health is intact, I think the Astros win the World Series.
Astros are going to be tough. I just think that Judge and Stanton are going to just – and the rest of that lineup is just too good.
Any other, you know, maybe awards, any other bold predictions? One that I have, and you said it before, the Giants are going to stink. Madison Bumgarner, I believe, has 1 year left on his deal, maybe two. I see Madison Bumgarner possibly getting dealt at the deadline.
That's very possible.
Who do you have as the MVPs in both
leagues?
So
I'm going to go a little bit bold for the NL, and this is going to be for my love of Phillies. I'm not picking Harper to win MVP. I'm picking Rhys Hoskins. I think with the addition of Bryce Harper in that lineup, Rhys Hoskins, I think he's going to hit 40 home runs this year. I think he's going to drive in about 110 RBIs, and he's going to bat 280. I think he's going to have a monster year, and for me, I think they're going to make the World Series. Obviously, that doesn't really come into effect, but like I think that's going to be enough to get him the MVP this year. And then the AL, I am going to pick Altuve. I think it's his time to win. I agree, Astros are going to bounce back. I think he's going to have a very, very good offensive year this year.
Yeah, I went back and forth on Altuve, Judge. I'm going to go with Altuve. I'll go with Trout third because Trout always has to be there. I know I mentioned Votto before. I think you sort of talked me out of the Votto MVP pick. I'm going to go Paul Goldschmidt. I think getting out of Arizona, this is a good St. Louis team that we both think will be in the playoffs. I'm going to go with him in his first year with the Cardinals.
It's a great pick.
And then Cy Young, I'll go with Scherzer. Any other year, I think Scherzer would have won it last year, but Jacob DeGrom was just so – I mean, Jacob DeGrom had a historically unbelievable season. I don't think he can replicate to that extent. I think as long as him and Noah Syndergaard are healthy, they both have a chance to finish in the top five of the Cy Young, but I'll go with Scherzer in the NL.
Here comes my Phillies love again. I love Aaron Nola. That offense is so improved. So run support's going to go up. I think Aaron Nola is obviously going to get a little bit better. I think his ERA is going to go down a bit. I think Aaron Nola is going to win about 17, 18 games this year with an ERA in the high twos. And I think that's going to be enough to win Cy Young.
And then what about the AL?
I just think, obviously, I only think because of just the competition that he's playing against. I think Corey Kluber is just going to beat up on the White Sox, the Royals, and the Tigers. I mean, that's going to be half of his starts at least this year, and he's going to be able to just eat up innings and give up very little round runs. I think it's going to add up, and he's going to win the Cy Young again.
Yeah, for that reason, I'm going with Chris Sale, only because they're going to beat up on the – he might win seven games alone against the Orioles. So I'm going with Sale.
It's a good pick.
I mean, I haven't dove deeply into the rookies of the year, but let's go with the legacies. Let's go with Vlad Jr. Let's go with Fernando Tatis Jr.
I'm in agreement.
Excited to see these young guys play.
It's going to be hard to pick against them, especially with we know Tatis is going to be up day one. I thought Guerrero had a really good chance to be up day one. He got that late injury in spring, so I think he'll be up by end of April, early May, play a ton of games, and obviously have insane stats, so I think they're both going to run away with it.
Any final thoughts?
That's it. Super excited. It's kind of nice, like a bunch of day games tomorrow to sort of take away the excitement of waiting around all day for the awesome Sweet 16 games. So it's just fun to have some daytime action again and just something to do going forward once college basketball is done with.
Yeah, I've always said this. I've always been fascinated. I mean, I have a feeling that opening day gets swept under the rug by Thursday night, and by Friday morning, everyone's talking about the tournament and not opening day. I mean, it seems like it's starting a little bit earlier this year. I know that there have been times that opening day has been the same day as the national championship game. So kind of gets overlooked, but when you have 162 games and it's still freezing cold outside like it is in New York, I guess that's what happens.
Yep. And all actually, right, it should... today I bought my first tickets to a baseball game this year. I'm on the board. I'm going to the Cubs-Dodgers game here in end of April.
Nice.
Yeah.
That should be a good – and that's always a good matchup.
Oh,
two teams that are going to be contending for a playoff spot.
And just being at Wrigley is a happy time, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you live out there. Yep. But I went there once for a Mets game, and that was so much fun. It was just, if you can get over the fact that it's not a real stadium at this point, it's, you appreciate the history of it. You appreciate, you know, what old school baseball looks like. You don't have to have sushi delivered to your seats like you do at Yankee Stadium.
Nope.
Filet mignon and stuff.
Just a good old hot dog for me.
Just a good old hot dog, some popcorn, some beer, and some baseball. It all starts this weekend. Super exciting. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back. We'll talk about baseball. We'll talk about the Final Four. The NBA is heating up. So much to keep talking about. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.